All right, everybody. Welcome to Tech Gumbo. I am Haggai Davis III, co-hosting with Haggai Davis II, and we would like to welcome you to our show, Tech Gumbo. We talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way. We don't use any geek speak or acronyms or anything like that. We just want to talk about technology that is important to you, or maybe it will be after you hear us. Before we get started, we want to thank Cardinal Capital. If you are a business owner or a CEO and you have a good relationship with your bank already, we hope that you do. But if you're facing new challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt because you're in growth mode, you want to buy new equipment, or you want to level out your cash flow, whatever your need or challenge is, give Cardinal Capital a call because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they'll help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation. And here's the good part, they are easy and fun to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net, call 225-308-3700, or email info@cardinalcap.net.
All right, Mr. Davis, let's stir up a little pot of tech gumbo.
Absolutely.
So, speaking of stirring things up, let's start off with a story from the Wall Street Journal. The Russian disinformation campaign aims to undermine the confidence in the Pfizer and the other COVID-19 vaccines because they're just wanting to cause disruption in the United States.
Yeah, this, the fact that the Russian disinformation has found a new target is not surprising. They have been sitting there watching all of the major fights in the US for at least the past 5 years and just, whatever the two sides are arguing about, they just pick the one which will cause the most chaos. And they go in and they just, intentionally say wrong things. They intentionally say things to make people angry. And they do it in a way that hides the fact they're Russian trolls. They make it look like they're one side or the other. And the whole point is just to reduce trust in public institutions, reduce trust in fellow Americans, to sow division. And it's working.
That's right. They work from the political right and from the political left. They don't care. They're just wanting to create as much confusion, much conflict, just break down our society as best they possibly can. And going back for most of Putin's term, at least especially since with the rise of social media, they have been attacking the US without firing a bullet, and they're doing a lot of damage.
Oh yeah, the being able to undermine confidence in the vaccine is probably one of the most deadly things that they can do. The vaccine is proven to be overwhelmingly effective, overwhelmingly successful, and it's the thing which would get our society back on track, get everybody back into their offices, get kids back into schools. But if people are, seeing some things on Facebook, seeing some things on Twitter that just make them more uncomfortable about the vaccine, that's what Russia wants. And so here we go, this is just because of our inability to prevent the trolls from faking, from spoofing American identities and saying these dirty things, we're losing.
It just is very frustrating that people want to believe everything they read on any one of the social media platforms, not to just single out one or two, because if they see it in front of their eyes, then, oh, well, that sounds good. It must be right. Let's not believe the people who have dedicated their life to studying, working through all of these very, very complex medical issues. All of this chemistry and biology and actual science, let's believe a meme on social media.
And I think, you know, we can simplify it. We don't even have to get into, you know, the years of PhDs and all of that. You can just say, okay, in the month of June, the number of people who were hospitalized who were unvaccinated was 99%, more than 99% of them. In the month of June in America, the number of people who were vaccinated and hospitalized was like 0.0-something%. And so that's all the number that you really need to see is that, yeah, sure, you might still get it if you have the vaccine, but it's going to be way less severe and you very likely won't get it at all.
So stop believing everything you read on the internet and start listening to the actual expert, because Vladimir Putin is laughing himself silly. And is enjoying every bit of consternation created because people are reading and believing things on social media.
And I'm very confident that it won't stop with this fight. And just the next fight that we have in this country, the Russians will pick the most divisive side and continue to sow disinformation.
From both sides.
Moving on, the FTC unanimously votes to enforce the right to repair. This is pretty cool, and we actually learned a lot whenever we were researching the story.
We absolutely did. So this we've been covering the story for quite some time now. This is, you know, continuation of the follow-up that you're going to get when you listen to Tech Gumbo. You know, the proponents of the right to repair, they're arguing that consumers should have access to the tools, the parts, and documentation and software to fix their products, whether it's a smartphone, a tractor, a TV, or whatever. If I take it apart, I should not void the warranty. Well, it turns out in our research, there's the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act of 1975.
Great. It is already illegal for manufacturers to tell consumers that a warranty is voided if the product has been altered or tampered with by someone other than the original manufacturer. I had no idea that was a law. I had just seen that in so many places over the course of my lifetime.
I've been in IT and telecom now for just under 35 years, and that is the first I've ever heard, because I've always known that if you take the lid off, if you open up your Mac computer, you voided the warranty. You take your iPhone apart, you voided the warranty. If you get into, you take the hardware apart on certain different electronic components used in networking, you have voided the warranty. Now, it's one thing to just remote in. When you're going in through virtual, that's one thing. You open up the box, that warranty's gone.
Yeah. And so, you know, we saw the line in the original story about this, and we're like, what is this Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act of 1975? And went digging through it, and yep, in the original language, it specifically calls out that the manufacturers are not allowed to say that if the product has been altered by someone who is not the original manufacturer, that cannot void a warranty.
You know, and you and I both use the Microsoft Surface. I had a Surface Pro a couple of years back that the screen got cracked. When I called Microsoft, they flat out told me, you have to mail it back to us and we will change out the screen. What they did was they just basically swapped out the device because it was still under warranty. But you cannot get it fixed locally. It will void the warranty if you take it and get it fixed locally. Did not know about this Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act of 1975. That would have been interesting to bring that up in the conversation.
My guess is whatever low-level tech support you were talking to on the phone would have said, yes, sir, I'm sure you're right, but you'll still have to send it in.
Exactly.
And you could have sat there and argued with their manager and their manager, and they'd all told you the same thing. But at the end of the day, that's at the heart of this issue, is the fact that right now, you know, a lot of these big tech manufacturers are saying you have to send it into them. You have to go to first party repair. There is no third party repair. You are not allowed to do it yourself. You cannot go to some other technician. It has to go back to the source. And the FTC is saying, no, we don't support that. We want our products to be repairable by the general public.
A letter was written from a senior vice president of a big corporation that basically said the FTC's decision to upend an effective and secure system for consumers to repair products that they rely on for their health, safety, and well-being, including phones, computers, fire alarms, medical alarms, home security systems, will have far-reaching permanent impacts on technology and cybersecurity. So they're saying, look, y'all enforce this. This is going to change the rules for everybody.
Which is true. I think it's also the point that they are trying to change the rules. And it's also important to note that the FTC put out a big report after 2 years of work on this specific topic, and they stated that there was scant evidence to support manufacturers' justification for repair restrictions. And then the report detailed a number of instances where manufacturers overstated the risks of batteries catching on fire or personal data breaches tied to device repairs. So the FTC is saying, hey, we looked at all these things that you guys are claiming, and there's just not evidence for it. You guys are out here just
spread evidence.
Widespread evidence for it.
We did do the story a couple of weeks back where the guys had that iPhone and were posting the woman's pictures to her Facebook page.
But that was through Apple's first party, though.
I know. I understand. So we'll see. We're going to continue following this and look for more signs of the right to repair and how it plays out.
Yeah.
The next story we wanted to talk about is the highest paying IT careers over the next 5 years. A study was done, and go figure, 8 out of the 10 positions that have anything to do with IT, the highest paid ones will be involving cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah. Of the top 10, 4 directly have the term security in their name, and another 4 are just directly related to security. And the other 2 are like tangentially related to security, but they're far enough away that, you know, they don't get put into the exact same bucket as the other 8.
So mom, dad, if you've got a kid who's nearing the end of high school looking for what they want to do, and cybersecurity is a good industry, it's got a long future, and it's going to pay very, very well. So I would strongly encourage you to encourage your kids, if they have the aptitude for such things, look into it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure it'll be a fascinating field to be part of, because you're not just going to be some wrench turner. You're not going to be a button presser. The challenges that you're going to have to solve are going to be very advanced. The types of problems that you're going to have to deal with are going to be rapidly changing. This is a field wherever, you know, this will be active, not a boring day will exist. So,
well, I can tell you in the IT industry, there is almost nothing we're doing today that we were doing 5 years ago.
I mean, oh yeah,
the 10 years ago doesn't exist in the IT world, you know, what we were doing back then versus what we're doing now. The changes are happening so fast and continuing to change so fast. I love the fact that people are putting this information out there, because, man, if you're looking for a job, that looking for a career, that go get yourself trained on cybersecurity. It will pay you, and pay you well.
Absolutely. And there will be job security. It will pay you well for the rest of your life.
Yes, they will.
Speaking of changes that are coming to the technology field, some CFOs are trying to get people to stop using Excel and replace them with new tools, because Excel isn't really a great finance tool. It's an okay finance tool, but it's old, it's outdated in some places, and they're just things which do it better.
Despite having all of the formulas that you could ever dream up built into Excel, despite having all of the 25 plus years of Excel, I mean, it's a great tool, but if you're running a multi-billion-dollar corporation on Excel, that's not a good thing.
Oh, yeah. There are so many things that are specialized versions of Excel. Excel is your Swiss Army knife, and it does a lot of things, and it does a lot of things pretty good, but, you know, you don't run a kitchen on a Swiss Army knife. You need a whole bunch of different types of tools, and you probably spend a lot of money on your knife tools because they do things well, and they do specific things well. And that is where we are with Excel, is that so many people are trained on it. You know, I first started using Excel somewhere in middle school, I think. And so you have 15 years, you know, my whole thinking career, I've been using Excel, and I'm pretty good at it. But I also use other tools that I'm like, oh, yeah, if we were to try and do this in Excel, this would be a nightmare. It would be possible, but good Lord, I would not want to do it.
I've been using Excel since the mid-90s, and I love Excel. It is so easy for me to use because I've been doing it for so long. I can make it dance and do the things I need to do to get it done. But that's me pulling out that one tool because I know how to manipulate that one tool. These guys are talking about using Excel when you're making billion-dollar decisions and you're running some calculations. Hey, let me throw up a quick spreadsheet and let's look at this, you know, and work through this, as opposed to using some of these high-end sophisticated software packages that will do so much more for you because it was designed to do that.
Yeah, it'll be cleaner, it'll be faster. I worked on a project at the company that I'm with, wherever we looked at New York City traffic, and someone about 15 years ago built all of New York City traffic in a spreadsheet. And it's really impressive. It's like 200 tabs of just formulas linked to cells, linked to other formulas, linked to graphs. And it's kind of cool, but it is just this nightmare to sit there and take apart and to understand and to put new data into. And it's just old. And if you were to start again in 2021, you would not do this. You would do something very different, and it would take you less time. It would be smoother. It'd be easier. And Excel is just a legacy tool.
That's right. I mean, you would start up with some sort of an actual database product if you were going to start from scratch doing this, that you can build tools that can run reports automated for you, not have to generate something on the next tab over to go back and look. Software has evolved.
Yeah.
A long ways away from where Excel, and Excel is still a great tool. So I'm not talking bad about Excel. I love Excel and would fight anybody who ever tried to take Excel away from me. But there's like you said earlier, there's only so much you can do with a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. We do want to wrap up this segment. Alexa is out there, and now you can get an Amazon device that will actually brew a cup of coffee as well for you.
This one feels like overkill to me, because you could already set up one of those devices wherever you plug it in, you connect it, and it turns any device into a smart device, and you just run the power and you set the timer through one of your routines. You know, for example, my lamp in my bedroom is connected to my Alexa. And so you could probably just connect a coffee maker to that. You know, you get more functionality this way, but given that this thing is $350, you know, I feel like you could set the timer as part of your Alexa routine, and you save yourself
you're buying the novelty of it at that point. I mean, it's just the Internet of Things. Okay, fine. You get an IoT connected coffee pot that connects back to your Amazon device or your Google device or whichever, you know, digital assistant device you want, and you move on from there. I mean, I just thought it was kind of funny to talk about that. It really is everywhere now.
Right. I think it definitely is an interesting story, but also we can think about what are the best ways to use our tools.
And we do want to thank General Informatics. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70-plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support with our clients' growth. Today, GI has a record number of clients as the fastest growing companies in the Inc. 500 5000 list. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web. We're geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our conversation today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m. and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear previous episodes, you can check us out as a podcast on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode is posted.
And if you like our show, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're on Twitter and on Facebook. We're at Tech Gumbo Show. Or you can text us 225-255-0431 and get a Tech Gumbo mug. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and send us a text to let us know what your question of the week is. And thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.